Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On February 14th, I did the exact thing I did not want to do on Ash Wednesday. I gave up chocolate for Lent this year because I have a huge appetite for chocolate. And I successfully negotiated around all of the chocolate temptations on Valentine's Day until 6:30 at night. I was relaxing over dinner with friends, and I got distracted by casual conversation and laughter. And a friend said, "Have some strawberries and chocolate on Valentine's Day." And I smiled, and I took the squares of chocolate, and I popped them in my mouth, and I chewed, and I swallowed. And then I remembered that I'd given up chocolate. So less than 12 hours into my Lenten discipline, I had already failed. It is my fastest failure in Lent of all times. It is a perverse personal best. This year, my resolve didn't even last for one day. So, of course, I picked myself up and rededicated myself to resisting chocolate for the rest of Lent. But that Ash Wednesday, Valentine's Day moment is such a vivid reminder for me of how seductive temptations are and how hard they are to keep, even the relatively small ones. Temptations, by their nature, are wily and slippery. And when we have an appetite for something, it is hard to give it up. We forget, or we don't remember hard enough, and we find ourselves with a mouthful of chocolate or a sip of wine. Or we listen to that little voice inside our heads that tells us that one bite of chocolate or one sip of wine isn't such a big deal. And we break our fast on purpose, telling ourselves that one exception won't really matter. But of course, it does matter. This season, we're remembering that our Lord set his face for Jerusalem and laid down his life for us, resisting all of the temptations that came into his path. And we take on a Lenten discipline in part to walk with Jesus in his disciplined walk to the cross. So this year, it really is uncomfortable for me to realize how fast I fell. And how easy it is for me to get pulled off course, even with something relatively small. Like many of us, I am giving up a second thing for Lent. I'm practicing giving up my least attractive character flaw, which I will not tell you what it is. But I'm doing a little bit better on that one. But with such a rude start to Lent, I am not going to get smug. I am taking it slow and steady. One day at a time. In Lent, we are practicing our resolve and our endurance in small things so that when we need discipline and endurance for much harder spiritual tasks, we'll have built up some experience and some capacity to accomplish them. When we give up chocolate or wine or caffeine, we're in training for bigger challenges and more demanding temptations. Our role model for resisting temptation is, of course, Jesus, the one who suffered for sin, but knew no sin. And in this morning's gospel, he is fierce in resisting temptation, and fierce in love, and fierce in his commitment to suffering. Lent is this solemn opportunity for us to see how the most beautiful human being of all time took up his joys and his woes, his temptations, his love and his sufferings, his cross, and to learn from him. Mark's scripture says, "Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But Jesus turned and looking at his disciples, Jesus rebuked Peter and said, 'Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things.'" In our gospel, Jesus is speaking the hard truth about his life to his disciples. And he's telling them that for a greater and divine good, he will undergo great suffering and be rejected by elders and priests and scribes and be killed before he rises again. Of course, Peter's a close confidant of Jesus, and he's deeply troubled by the pain and the sorrow that Jesus is predicting for his own life. So Peter rebukes Jesus. I imagine Peter doesn't want Jesus' life to be so hard because he admires and loves this man. I imagine that Peter's intentions are good ones. The gospel doesn't record Peter's words, but Peter must have told Jesus not to speak of such a nightmarish scenario. They had visions for what it means to be a Messiah, and it's not about death on a cross. What is most important here in this gospel is that Jesus knows himself to be tempted by Peter's invitation. This seems to be another moment like that very famous moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus would like the cup to pass from him if it could. But here, surrounded by his disciples, confronting Peter, Jesus knows that the good that he would do will be accompanied by excruciating suffering and shameful death. Jesus is confirming that suffering is inevitable, even essential in his story. If we're feeling brave this morning, we can each ask ourselves about the place in our own life where we need to shout, "Get behind me, Satan." Is there a place in your life where you would like to choose the comfortable and easy choice, but secretly know that something more demanding and possibly more painful is being asked of you? Adult lives are much more complicated than the simple temptations of chocolate or wine. Sometimes we try to psychologize ourselves into imagining that if something is painful, then we must be doing it wrong. But I do not believe that that is gospel wisdom. The gospel asks us to recognize that painful choices and real sacrifices are part of a mature spiritual life. When Noah builds an ark, he is jeered at and humiliated. While Abraham waits for his sons to be born, he turns 90. And when Moses attempts to cross the Red Sea, the Egyptians are bearing down on him. Living in a situation that is painful does not necessarily mean that we are doing it wrong. It may just be a painful and dangerous situation. The death of someone we love is like that. The mending of a significant injustice is like that. A brokenness like an addiction or a chronic illness is like that. And the end of a relationship can be like that. Sometimes the only way past something is by going through it. And Jesus knows this. He tells Peter to get away from him because Jesus does not want to fall into the temptation of an easier way. There is no easy way for Jesus. If Jesus is going to serve God, there is nothing for him but a humiliating death on the cross. This grace is not cheap grace. This is grace that costs something, quite a lot. This is the grace of desert wilderness, of barren loneliness, and painful priority setting. Something must die for this grace to live. And the giving of this grace requires endurance and courage and faith on Jesus' part. Jesus can choose to be authentic and engage the grace that will hold great pain, but that will finally bend eternity. Or he can listen to Peter and choose an easy and pleasantness, which will ultimately help no one. And Jesus resists temptation and opens the way of salvation for all of us. When we find ourselves in dark places, hoping against hope for grace to reach us, we can count on the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. We can count on Jesus, who keeps his promise to love humankind forever. There is no place God will not go to find us. There is no price that God will not pay to save us. Like the patriarchs and the matriarchs who've gone before us, we're called to believe in the mighty dominion of God, the mighty judgment, the mighty mercy of God. We're called to believe in grace beyond price. So what do we talk about when we talk about temptation and love and suffering? This morning, we talk about Abraham and Sarah. We talk about St. Paul. We talk about Jesus, King of Kings, victim and Lord. We talk about our Creator, our Redeemer, our Sustainer. So gracious God, as our Lenten journey deepens, help us to resist distraction and to become more familiar with the landscapes of our inner lives. Help us to resist temptation and follow you. Help us find courage in your courage. Help us grow in sacrificial love by following you in your journey of sacrificial love. Help us embrace the love and the suffering of our human lives, and to give glory to you. Amen.
Amen.